ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
What are you doing for the Lord right now? And if you're not doing anything for the Lord, why? Now some say, well, you know, I'm trying to raise my family. That's true. That is, besides the Lord, your spouse is number one, your children are number two, and then ministry is number three. But it doesn't mean we can't serve the Lord. When Jesus is our example, a man, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, right? What does that mean? It means he was focused. Let's not be distracted. Let's stay focused on what God wants us to do. Now, illness, tragedies, things that happen in our lives, we kind of talked about this, but God will allow these things to happen in our lives so he can accomplish his work in our lives. I can tell you throughout my 63 years of being alive that there are things that happened in my life that I would have never picked. You know, if you had choices, nah, I don't want that one. That, forget that. There's too much pain in that. I don't want that. I don't want this. I'll take that one over there. But it's not a smorgasbord. God gives us exactly what we need. I don't always understand it, but I have to trust in him. For me, and I don't know if this happens to you, things go on in your life, very difficult things, and it's easy for me to get upset, to get angry. God, why are you allowing this? But there's a lesson. Instead of complaining or getting angry, as you go through things in your life, what is God going to do in you and through you as you're going through them? One pastor wrote this. This is amazing to me. He said, "The issue is not sin," said Jesus. "Rather, this man's misery gives me opportunity for ministry. I am the light of the world, and I have only so many hours in which I can work before night falls on the day of my public ministry. Misery always opens the door for ministry. As a junior in high school, I had the opportunity to represent our district at the Athletes in Action National Conference. Although the conference began Monday morning, the featured speaker failed to show up for Monday's, Tuesday's, and Wednesday's meetings. He was on campus, but the pain he lived with continually prevented him from joining us. Maybe you heard his story. During the 68-69 season, Brian Sternberg was at the West Coast Relays in Fresno, California, pumped, primed, and poised to break the world record in the pole vault. The day before the meet, he was doing what pole vaulters often do, working out on a trampoline. But following one particular double flip, he hit the metal railing and broke his neck. It was a tragedy and a shock to the track and field world when Sternberg was told not only that he would never vault again, but that he would be a quadriplegic for the rest of his life. Other speakers and athletes filled in for Brian at the AIA conference. Then came Thursday night. After Brian was wheeled out, he began to share with this group of young athletes how he had been a nominal, lukewarm Christian for a number of years. Then came the tragedy, and he said, "As I was in the hospital flat on my back, hearing I would never run, never walk, never even lift my hands again, God started to do a work in my life and gave me a peace I cannot explain. Jesus became so incredibly real to me at that time and has been real to me since then and in a way I could never comprehend or explain." Then with tears rolling down his cheeks, this world-class athlete said, "If that was the only way I could have what I have right now in my heart, I would take the jump all over again." When he extended an invitation to make a real commitment to Jesus Christ, virtually the entire audience came forward. We saw revival happen unlike anything I ever seen before or since. But it came through a man who was broken and in pain. Absolutely. You know, what are we struggling? What difficulties are we going through? What tragedies are we experiencing? We need to be able to let God work in us so he could work through us during these times. And it's not always easy. People are born with handicaps, or later on they develop some health issues that make it harder for them to do things. And it's not easy. But how is God going to use this? I'll give you an example from my own life. back in November of 2011, I had some back issues, and it was so bad at times I couldn't even sit. I had to stand to eat meals and to watch television. I was in tears. I'd get in the car to do church stuff, and I could hardly drive. And I was seeing a doctor, and he gave me some injections in my back, which didn't help. And this went on for 3 months. And in January, I traveled to Russia to teach at a pastor's conference and, you know, share the word wherever I could. I was able to teach 8 times in Russia. Yeah, I was in pain, but the Lord was very gracious. He saw me all the way from Wisconsin to Russia and Russia back and all the stuff in between. He was very gracious. Well, when I got home, I went to see an orthopedic surgeon. He did some tests and came to the conclusion that my problem was with my back and L4 and L5. I saw a neurosurgeon. He said you got some 4 bone spurs and some spinal stenosis and needed to take care of that problem. And as I heard of all that, I thought, what is wrong with these other doctors? Why didn't they do this before? And I started to get mad. I mean, I had an MRI back in September, and none of this was found out. And then the Lord reminded me, you know how the Lord just kind of speaks to you and goes, you know, Joe, you would have never went to Russia if you had your back surgery. Oh, okay, Lord. You had a better plan than me, all right? Instead of being mad, I'm thankful, Lord, that you allowed me to go to Russia to teach at this pastor's conference. You know, God has a plan, and the problem comes when we see our plans, what we want to do. You know, for me, it was not to be in pain anymore and to be able to run. I wanted to run and sit. But God was using all that time frame, that delay to get me to Russia. And yeah, when you're going through some issues in your life, yeah, it's good to examine. Is there something that I'm doing that's wrong, Lord, that I need to change in my life? There's nothing wrong with that, but that may not be the issue, and I think many times it's not. And is it a dark world out there? Absolutely. Is it a hurting world? Absolutely. How has God helped you through those difficult times? Because what God has shown you, you could have compassion upon others. You know, I think that's one of the reasons God had me in the nursing field for some 30 years working in ICUs. Having compassion towards people. I worked with nurses that didn't have compassion for their patients or the family members. I don't want to get too close to them. Distance myself. Why are you crying? Why are you upset? I'm thinking, I've been taking care of this young kid for weeks now, and he just died. And his dad saw him get in this accident, and now he's only 18. He's dead. Why? You don't have any compassion? And God was preparing me for ministry. How can you be involved in a ministry if you don't have compassion for people? You have to care for them. You know, as much as you may want to say it when someone comes to you and is complaining, suck it up. Don't do it. That is not the answer, okay? Have compassion. If you were in their shoes, what would you want them to say? See, we got to think about that. Are we more concerned for ourselves, or are we concerned for the lost or those that are hurting in the body of Christ? Are we willing to sacrifice our lives to see people come into the kingdom of God? And that's what we have to come to grips with. We have to do a heart check, make sure we're okay. Because, will bad things happen to us? Yeah. Maybe some of you right now are going through some very, very difficult times. God has not left you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So what is he showing you? What does he want you to do? Draw close to him. Spend time in his word. Spend time in fellowship with other believers that can encourage you and help you. So important. Don't come up with a theological answer. Did you sin, or was it someone else that sinned that brought? No, that's not the answer. The answer is, you know what? Can I pray for you? And sometimes it's not even saying anything. It is just being there for the person and loving them. Look at what Jesus is going to do now for this man who was born blind, the blind see. Look at verse 6 here in John chapter 9. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. So here is this man who was born blind in this hopeless condition, never saw in his entire life. He's an adult, and can you imagine never seeing anything, never experiencing a sunrise or sunset, never seeing flowers, trees, grass, animals, clouds. You guys have to imagine in your mind. You know, we take sight for granted, but wow, being able to see is amazing. And here Jesus heals this man. Again, how does this relate to us? We're born in a hopeless condition. It's called sin. There's no way we can cleanse ourselves from it, but Jesus can by his cleansing work on the cross of Calvary. We were once blind, but now we see. And how does he heal this man? He spits on the ground and, making the dirt into a clay mixture, places it onto this man's eyes and says, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Can you imagine? Church is picking up on this. Oh, we're the church of the spitting on the ground and placing the clay in your eyes to be healed. It's kind of a long name. I don't know if it fit on our sign out there, but people will do goofy things like that. And here, this man, he obeys the Lord and was healed. Now, we read through the story and just kind of go through it and don't think much about it. But think about it. Here's a guy with dirt on his eyes. He's blind. And Jesus tells him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. The distance that he had to travel was about 2,080 feet, almost 0.4 miles. There was a climb of about 377 feet. Now, I know Wikipedia says it was only 210 feet to the pool of Siloam, but you know how much I trust Wikipedia, okay? Sorry. It was 2,080 feet, and he goes and washes, and he comes back seeing. And people wanted to know where Jesus was, and the man who was blind and could now see says, I don't know. You see, by the time he went to the pool of Siloam and was healed and walked back, Jesus was gone. If it was truly 2,080 feet for this man to travel to the pool of Siloam and back, you can understand why Jesus was already gone. It took time. But how did he get there? He's blind. Well, okay, again, did he have family, friends who may have been with him that could have led him to the pool of Siloam? He didn't need help getting back, he just needed help getting there. And this pool of Siloam, if you remember in the Old Testament, was built by King Hezekiah. And it was a way to get fresh water supply into the city prior to the invasion of Sennacherib and the Assyrians. And this pool is fed by a conduit from the spring of Gihon, some 1,780 feet. Built through solid rock. And the workers, when they were building this, they worked at opposite ends and they met in the middle and they were only a few inches off. Think about that. With the technology they had, they were only a few inches off, chiseling through all that rock to allow this water to flow through. This is a pool where the priest would go to gather the water into the golden pitcher during the Feast of Tabernacles. And here was a man who traveled that distance to be healed by Jesus. You think, well, why did he heal this man this way? Well, it was the Sabbath, right? And it was forbidden in their tradition and their interpretation of the law to make clay on the Sabbath day. That was work. So Jesus not only healed on the Sabbath day, but made clay and placed it in this blind man's eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And by faith, he obeyed. Now, I don't know about you, and I'm kind of weird this way, but I would be like, you know what, Jesus? Instead of spitting on the ground and making some clay and putting it on my eyes, can you just heal me? You know, forget that spit and dirt stuff. I'm sure you wouldn't want that either. Now, think about it. Would you be happy if someone made a huge spit into the dirt and made some clay out of it and put it in your eyes? Of course not. You know, this man allowed Jesus to do it. And you may be thinking, well, he was blind, so he couldn't see what Jesus was doing. He could hear, right? He wasn't deaf, he was only blind. So he knew exactly what was going on. How offensive that is. Isn't that true of the gospel? That it's offensive to people. It seems foolish, but it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves us, as foolish as it may seem. I'm not picking on social programs here. They are there for a purpose. But let me ask you this. All the social programs in this country, are people saved? No. They're not saved through the social programs. Maybe someone within the program who's sharing Jesus with them, absolutely, but not the program. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing that will transform lives. We can make people better. We can clean them up a little bit, but we've cleaned them up to send them to hell. And that's why we need to meet people's physical needs so we can meet their spiritual needs. That's why when I was talking about the Ukrainians who have escaped into Russia because of the invasion by Russia in the Ukraine, the church in Kaluga is trying to minister to them with the physical needs so they can deal with their spiritual needs then. One of the things we need to see is that this man was told to go, and he went. The pool of Siloam means sent. What did Jesus say in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In John 20, verse 21, Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. So we are to go into all the world, and just as the Father sent Jesus, we too are sent into this world. Not into our churches or homes or whatever. We gather here to worship God, to be fed, to fellowship, to use the gifts that God has given us to minister to the body of Christ. But then we're to go out into the world. That's where the ministry is, out into the world, to bring the gospel message to the lost. One pastor put it like this. It's kind of a hard one. He said, the central message of Scripture pertains to the central mission of the people of God, a mission that, tragically, many Christians do not understand or are unwilling to fulfill. It seems obvious that some Christians think little about their mission in this world, except in regard to their own personal needs. They attend services and meetings when it's convenient, take what they feel like taking, and have little concern for anything else. They are involved in the church only to the extent that it serves their own desires. It escapes both their understanding and their concern that the Lord has given his church a supreme mission, the Great Commission, that he calls every believer to be an instrument in fulfilling that mission. Yeah, that is not an easy message. Why? Because it convicts us. Lord, what could I be doing? What do you want me to do? Spurgeon said, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for. Yeah. You know, we're in a battle in these days we're living in. And I think the days are getting shorter for us to complete the work that God wants us to do. And we want to finish strong. And it's not always easy. You know, Ray Stedman put it like this. He says, what does the clay symbolize in Scripture? In Genesis, we're told that God formed man from the dust of the ground, from the clay of the earth. That symbolism is used many times in Scripture. God is the potter, we read in Jeremiah. We are the clay. He molds us and shapes us into what he wants us to be. Believers, the Apostle Paul declares, have this treasure in earthen vessels, clay pots. And the pots are not very strong. Clay is not very powerful, a very powerful substance. It is malleable and weak. Thus, all through Scripture, clay is used as a symbol of the weakness and fragility of human nature. We are all made of clay. We are clay pots. Some of us are even a little cracked. When our Lord smears clay, I can say, yeah, he's right about that. When our Lord smears clay over this man's eyes, he is saying that there is something hindering this man's spiritual sight. Not only his physical, but his spiritual sight. It is the clay of his humanity, his own and that of those with whom he is surrounded, that fallen nature is a hindrance to seeing spiritual truth. When he sends this man on a stumbling journey to the pool of Siloam, he is indicating that there is a difficult time ahead. The process of healing his spiritual sight will involve a prolonged and difficult journey that will be filled with obstacles. It is only when he gets to the pool that his inner sight will be granted. How true that is. You know, his physical eyes were opened. But that's not the end of the story. Because as we read on in this story, his spiritual eyes are going to be open. And that's the most important factor of this story. If Jesus just healed his physical eyes and he's still going to hell, what's the point? But Jesus never left a person like that. He brought them to a place of physical healing, meeting their needs, and then he took them to the most important thing, spiritual healing. God has called us to go into the world, and he sends us to various areas to do various things. And that's the wonderful thing about our God. I mean, think about all the different gifts each of us have. You know, for me, I would love to be able to play the guitar, the drums, to sing. That is not a gift. My wife could attest to that. You know, I cannot, well, I can sing in every key at the same time. That's an art. Good luck trying to do that. That is not easy to do, but I can do it. God says, make a joyful noise to him. That's what I do. Playing an instrument, I have no idea. My parents sent me to had violin lessons when I was in grade school. I don't know why. I was horrible. I couldn't do anything. Then there was guitar lessons. Are you kidding me? I play the air guitar really good, but that's about it, you know? But God has given me other gifts to use. And I have to remember that. Don't be jealous of what you don't have. Be excited for what God has given you and use those gifts. I'm amazed when I look at everyone here and seeing the gifts that God has given you. It's like, wow, that is incredible that God has brought all these different people here. You know, when we applied for our radio station, gosh, I don't remember how many years ago it was, we were in the other building. And we really didn't have anyone to run the station. I knew nothing about electronics and that kind of stuff. And God brought Max into the church. And then the day we got approval for our radio station, the people we were renting from said, we have to leave because the flower gallery wanted to move into our section as well. They needed more area. I'm like, well, this is great. You know, we've lost our building. Now we have a radio station, no place to put it. What are we going to do? God has a plan. And the people he's brought in are incredible. God brought us into this building, allowed us to put the radio station up. And then when the city said, you know, you can't have a tower as high as we have one, a few years back, they allowed us to put it up. I can't explain why, because we fought with them for years, probably 10 years, to be able to put a tower up higher. It could only be, what was it, I think 28 feet or something above, or 15 feet above the highest part of your building. That was it. And God is amazing how he changes. You know, when he wants to do something, it doesn't matter. He'll get it done. And that's what I want you to remember. Maybe you're feeling inadequate. Did you feel, what do I have to give? Oh, you have a lot. God made you a vessel to be used. He's shaped your life to be used for him, for his glory. Never give up on that. This man didn't give up. This man could have said, hey, you know what? I'm blind. How could I walk to the pool of Siloam? And for that matter, why are you spitting and putting that stuff in my eyes? No, he didn't even question it. When God calls you to take a step, take that step and see what glory you could bring to him. There's only one life. It will soon be passed, and only what is done for Christ will last. And that's what I want. I'm sure that's what you want, right? You know, we all, what am I passing down to my children? You know, oh, I've got the house. I got some cars. I got this. I got that. I got this kind of money. That's not what I want to pass down to my children. You know what I want to pass down to my children, my grandchildren, is Jesus. I want them to be able to look at my life and say, here was my dad, my grandfather, who loved the Lord dearly. I want to have that kind of faith. You see, I've told you before, when my children were rebelling and turned from God, they're back, and they've been back for a while, praise God. But the one thing that one of my kids said was, you know, Dad, through all of that, I was watching you. And you never wavered with your walk with the Lord. I didn't even know he was watching. The gifts God has given, be excited, use them. Go. You're sent out into this world to what? To bring the gospel message. Use it to the fullest. Finish the race strong. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for this example of this man. And Lord, just clearing up confusion that some people may have about sin and sickness. And how many times it's just a result of what's come into this world and not the individual person and what they've done, what someone has done to them. And we thank you, Lord, that you've called us using these pots of clay. Sometimes they're a little cracked, but you still use us to go out in this world and present the gospel message. What you gave to the disciples, you've given to us. the empowering of your Spirit upon our lives to bring the Word of God to people. Thank you, Lord. And I pray for anyone who may be suffering and hurting this morning, that you bring your peace, your comfort, your joy into their lives, knowing that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called to according to your purpose. It's not a cop-out. It's not an easy saying. But you can know it because that's what the Bible says. And we have to trust you, Lord, and walk by faith. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.